on giving a talk. Some people just like to ramble and jaunt along with their thoughts and their ideas and talk about them. But to give a talk is a specific thing. To give a talk, you have a theme. Now, you can take anything you like as a theme. I like me. The world is wonderful. I'm waiting for my sunrise. I like to float in the sky like Peter Pan. The depth of the black holes of outer space are going to completely change man's opinion of himself very shortly. Now, that's a big talk, isn't it? But whatever you choose for a talk, make it yours. And use the theme of your talk consistently throughout your talk so that people know that you're still on your topic. You're still talking about what you said you were going to talk about at the beginning. Now, you can talk up a storm and you can go anywhere you like with your talk. You don't have to be bound by your topic. But if you're going to have a topic, then at least fit it in occasionally. Oh, yes, and by the way, it's a lovely day. That's my topic. And then you go along, and you're talking about the black hole of outer space, and you're talking about the understanding of humanity and how humanoids are coming along and how human population 100,000 years ago was merely finding its way. And then, but it's a lovely day. It's a lovely day because we found our way. Now, if you're going to give a talk, you only give a talk that is definite, that people can follow. Now, when you wander, as we all do as we give a talk, we wander in our thoughts to all sorts of possibilities that would reflect what we want to say. As we wander, we have to always come back home. We always have to come back to our topic, to our theme. And if we don't come back to our theme, I have it written down on a little sheet of paper next to me every day. I go through the I go through the quotation book, great quotations, and then I take the great quotations that I think are significant to me and that mean something to me when I read them, and I write them down. And then, when it comes time to use it as a topic for my talk, sometimes I rewrite the quotation because it doesn't say exactly what I want to say, or I've thought about it in my hintermind where I wasn't really realizing I was thinking about it. Now, all of a sudden, I look at it again. Hey, that's not the way I wanted to say it. I want to say it virtually the opposite. So when I do it, I write it down on a sheet of paper so that I remember that I am speaking in the opposite, and I'm not proclaiming it opposite. I'm just saying, it's a wonderful day. It's a day filled with all sorts of problems and all sorts of discussions and all sorts of anger and unhappiness. Oh, I don't want that. It's a day filled with happiness. It's a day filled with my joy of my heart and my thinking and my way and my life. And I come back to my topic. We write down a phrase as our topic. It doesn't matter who said it before. And then we go on from there. Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. Well, you don't have to quote Shakespeare when you say to be or not to be. To be or not to be is a perfectly wonderful phrase all by itself. And any literate person knows that Shakespeare said it. So, big deal. But when we start going back to the historical realm of things, we begin realizing that Shakespeare didn't say that. Shakespeare used that phrase from somebody else. And that was used from somebody else. He was a very literate man. Shakespeare had a problem that most of us would love to have. Shakespeare listened to his inner self and then followed through. Mozart, he listened to divine music in his soul, in his heart, but he was alert to it. He was aware of it. And then he wrote down note perfect, every note that he heard inside of himself. And that's why his music is so glorious. He listened within. He listened within and wrote that down. Now, does that mean that he cheated and stole it from somebody else? No. It merely means that he had the wisdom to take this music of the spheres floating through his head and choose whatever aspects of that music he wanted. And that's what he wrote down. And then he wrote down the great oratorios, and he wrote down the great concerts, he wrote down the great orchestrations that go behind the music. Wow, what a mind, what a fantastic. But always he was listening to the divine within. He didn't say to the divine within, okay, divine within, now we're ready for the next part, concerto number two. Now we're ready. He didn't say that. He just listened and wrote. And naturally, the divine within him was organized. It knew what it was doing. It always does. And he listened to that divine within, and he flowed forth with his music gloriously. Shakespeare, people say, oh, he had help, and other people were writing those things. It wasn't him at all that did it. Talk all you want. It wasn't Shakespeare. It was the divine within him. It was the divine within Shakespeare. As with Mozart, he listened to the divine within him. He didn't know many of the things that he wrote about, because they were conditions of his government, of the world government, of the government of other countries where he had never been. And he wrote about them as though he had been living. And he was, because he listened to the divine within, where the divine within him is everywhere, doing everything, experiencing everything. And so Shakespeare was experiencing everything. A most magical man. What do you think about Einstein? You think he's so brilliant? He's a genius, of course, but he's listening within. He's listening to the divine within him. For his theory of relativity, he had a dream in the night, and he woke up and he wrote down the formula. And then when he woke up in the morning, he couldn't figure out what it meant, because the divine had given it to him. Then he meditated upon the formula. He meditated upon what the divine had given him, and it was revealed to him totally as a young man. We all can listen to the divine within. It doesn't matter how old we are. You know, a lot of these young entrepreneurs, they're kids. They're 8, 10, 12 years old, and they sell their ideas for billions of dollars to companies, you know. What magic, huh? Where did that idea come from? It came from the divine within them. Anybody could have done it. But the young, uninhibited minds speak out and say things that many of a inhibited mind, many a mature mind wouldn't dare say. Oh, you such a cop, that can't be. That can't be. Now, today, the cell phone is quite big. And companies all over the country are developing cell phones and creating cell phones. And one person is creating a cell phone which is as good as all the other cell phones. And he doesn't know about all the other cell phones. He listened within himself. Now people say, how could he do that? We're going to buy him out. We're going to stop it, you know. Well, he doesn't want to be bought out. He got it from his divine self. And he just is flowing with it. He's doing it. We wonder why Ed Musk can do all the wonderful things he does with his batteries and with his Tesla cars and with the various things he's working. He just listens within. The same ideas have been floating across the universe forever, and a few people listen. Tesla listened. Musk listens. Einstein listened. Mozart, Shakespeare listened. Now, you and I can listen to. And we can put down whatever we think and not judge it, but just let it flow. But be organized. Be orderly. What does Perrault say? Be orderly. An orderly life is one that accomplishes great goals. Why? Because it goes point by point by point. It listens within, it listens within, it listens within. Shakespeare couldn't have written all he did unless he really listened within and just wrote down as fast as it could come, because he had to write in a pen. He didn't even have a computer. I mean, what an amazing guy. What an amazing guy. Augustine, you know, writing The City of God. Fantastic volume. Now, and he wrote it himself with pen. And he still had a church to run and a bunch of other things to do. Amazing man. He listened within. He didn't have to erase. He didn't have to change. He didn't have to do anything. He just listened with it. He kept saying, I am writing about the city of God. I am writing this. I am writing this. Boom, 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 boom. He was total good connection, and he wrote it beautifully. We may not always believe everything everybody does or writes or says. That's because we are not as brilliant as they are. But the thing is, listen to them. The technique is what counts. Because when you learn how to talk, when you learn how to share something, when you know how to talk, you first get your idea written down as a theme, and then wander as everywhere you want, but keep coming back to your theme so that everyone can follow you. And that's the beautiful thing. The music of Mozart is a concerto. It's a flow. It's a rhythm, but it always comes back. It always comes back to the remembered notes, to the remembered ideas. The same with Shakespeare. He always comes back with his themes. The same with any scientist, any person. It's the same with you. If you want to be a good speaker, and you want to be heard and listened to and delighted in by people, say what is in you as comes to you in your divine program. And write your theme. You don't have to take it from a book. Write your theme, but follow your theme. And if you don't like it, set it aside and write another theme. But always stay with whatever your theme is so that people that you're speaking to, and that's why you're speaking, so they can follow you. And if they can follow you, then they feel that you are so smart. And if they can't follow you, they say, oh, that's beyond me, beyond my understanding. And we don't want that. We want everyone to say, oh, I see. First day, oh, I see, I understand. And when we have everyone listening to us saying, ah, the light goes on, the brilliance is there, then we know we've given an interesting talk. Have a good day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.